Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Blind Bargains Cast, episode 161. And with me is JJ is out traveling this week. Let me think. Who could I get who might be available at last moment
me?
That I could call in a favor. On? And, oh, yeah, Patrick. No,
no,
I don't know. I don't, you want to?
Really. No?
Well, Patrick doesn't want to, so let me see. Who else do I have?
Joe, what? I'll do it.
You'll do it?
Joe.
Really?
Yeah.
Everybody, welcome to the program, Mr. Greg Stilson. Hey, Greg, how are you doing?
Hey, there, Joe. Hey, thanks, everybody. It's awesome to be on. Awesome to be on Blind Bargains.
I happened to catch him on a night that the Milwaukee Brewers were not playing, and Green Bay was not playing on Thursday night.
It is a true statement. I was really hoping the Brewers series would just be wrapped up by now, but it is unfortunately not for our
sake. As a Houston Astros fan, I almost have that problem going right now with Boston during the night that we record.
So, that was a heck of a game last night, man.
Fan interference aside... Man, oh man, thanks for coming on the program. I appreciate it, brother.
No, it's great. Thank you. Thanks for asking. It's a pleasure to be on again, guys.
And now you get to talk about something other than, all the former companies you used to work for and the company that you currently work for. Although, those of you who don't know, Greg works for IRA. As long as you have your Jaws synthesizer to the latest patch, you know how to say that. But Greg's going to be on here to talk about some of the things that just happened. A new update just dropped and some other stuff that's going on. So that'll be in the middle of the program. And of course, we also have Sound Off, Last Word, and all the stuff that you even know, like, oh man, a user submitted tip. And JJ isn't even here to revel in that. Oh man. And as you heard, Patrick, who's going to make it all sound much, much better. So just up front, no trains. There's no trains here in Charlotte, and I don't think there's any in Wisconsin.
Well, there's trains in Wisconsin, but daughter is now in bed, so we'll hopefully keep that quiet.
No train. Okay, good. All right. Well, one of the things you can do is you could actually watch a documentary about trains if you had Hulu. Well, you could if you had software that worked extremely well in order for you to browse and navigate through Hulu. Many people have noticed that the iOS version of Hulu has become a bit of a pain and can be very difficult to use stuff. Some people use workarounds like if you're an iOS, they're using the TV app to restart where they left off. But general browsing and navigating has been really difficult. I'm still using the tvOS version, which has been just fine through all of this. Otherwise, I probably would have cut the cord with Hulu like many people. But we don't have to, because it looks like there has been an agreement. Hulu is actually going to work to become more compatible with assistive technology software. And better yet, and this is the most important part, they're going to add audio description where they can and when it's available to projects that they themselves create, because they create things like The Handmaid's Tale and other things, and have some Hulu exclusives, as well as enabling that for other series that they carry, which we all know already have audio description. This is awesome. They were kind of the ones that were really on the outs, because Amazon kind of does this. Apple TV and iOS does this a lot for movies. Netflix does it for almost everything they can. And I guess the new streaming service for Disney will probably do that, because a lot of stuff that's on Netflix is Disney related and audio described.
Right.
Are you into streaming thingies? Have you cut the cord there?
I have. My wife and I cut cable probably, I'd say, 2, maybe 3 years ago. And so I have an Apple TV. I also have a Amazon Fire Stick that I play with from time to time. But we've got an Apple TV 4th gen. And it's funny, because I've always been really, really big into movies. I had a lot more vision when I was younger, and so I loved watching movies. And since my vision's really deteriorated, I found that I just don't enjoy movies nearly as much. And shockingly, it's because you can't see what's on the screen, right? So right. When I saw all these, you know, descriptive audio things coming out, and even like things like Blind My Smart and the Movie Vault and all that kind of stuff, like I really started getting back into TV and movies. But now I find that I'm super spoiled, in that the amount of content that's on Netflix and other sources, even Amazon, as you said, is really starting to pick it up. I was watching Man in the High Castle, actually, on my flight today. And just the fact that it's got audio description right there, when you come across services that don't have it, we're in a really good place now where you're kind of like, whoa, what's going on? What's wrong with you? Why aren't you putting descriptive audio there? And that's actually what's prevented really my wife and I from going and using Hulu, is because there's no content there, and the accessibility was really limited. So I am not a Hulu person. I haven't really done a lot of streaming with Hulu, primarily because of that, because there was no real commitment to accessibility at that point.
Yeah, and when your daughter finds out that Freeform and a lot of Disney stuff ends up over there, and a lot of Cartoon Network is, yeah, you'll be all into the Hulu. Give it some time. That'll be a very dangerous
absolutely.
Place
and
to
be. Absolutely, and we watch the whatever it is, the Disney Now channel. She's big into Mickey Mouse Clubhouse right now.
Sure.
And I turn it on, and because my accessibility setting on Apple TV was set to always default to audio description or whatever it is if it's available. Like, I turned on Mickey Mouse Clubhouse for the first time, and sure enough, they're like, Mickey comes on screen. And I was like, whoa.
It's disconcerting at first if you don't know it's going to be there.
Yeah. Exactly. I was like,
agreed.
Is that supposed to be there, or is that just some random person hanging out behind Mickey, like talking to him? So, yeah. So.
Over here, Mickey. I agree. It's one of those things where I got YouTube TV for the family because Ricky and I travel when we go to do, you know, our work. And going to hotels and stuff is just the worst, because if you did want to watch the Milwaukee Brewers game, what channel is it on? Mm-hmm. Will I find it? How long do I have to get out? You know, will I be stuck on the menu channel hearing that music over and over again in the hotel? And just, you know, how can I get out of this? Because I've already heard about the Starlight Lounge like 16 times from the channel here in the beginning. And yes, there are massages available. Got that. Great. Room service. Oh, that's great. How do I get to the game?
And now you bought a movie. On accident.
Yeah, oops, how did that happen? So YouTube TV has been great for that, because it's, you know, works, and I can read it with voiceover or with talkback, and, you know, it doesn't matter where we are. And so Hulu has a streaming TV side as well, and I'm hoping that provides some form of comparative for us on that, because that'd be great to give us an opportunity, because DirecTV and DirecTV Now comes and goes on their access levels. So the more we can have in that kind of situation, all the better. But I mentioned hotels. How many times have you ever looked at those little round bottles, those uniform, ubiquitous round bottles, and go, I have no idea what any of these are?
Well, Joe, you mentioned the company that I currently work for, and one of the most frequent tasks that I use Ira for is identifying those stupid bottles in there, because I cannot tell you the number of times that I have accidentally washed my hair with mouthwash, because the mouthwash is
minty fresh.
Exactly. So, and some of those places, the mouthwash bottle, now, sometimes I'm not always the brightest bulb in the box. Sometimes I always do the shake test, right? You shake and which one it seems like more soap kind of consistency versus the liquidy consistency that would be the mouthwash, but they're all in the same bottle and they all look identical. So yes, it is a real world problem. And, I use Ira. I've used the OCR cert, you know, options on my phone and things like that.
To try and use it with Seeing AI or Envision or something.
Exactly.
And yeah. Yep. Well, the cool thing is that other people who take a shower usually have their eyes closed too. And this has become a big enough problem that Herbal Essence has decided that they're going to make their bottles more tactile and more easier to recognize, which this seems like a no-brainer as well, that they're going to make these available so people with low vision and no vision, probably people who have their eyes closed in the shower, can find bottles from Herbal Essence moving forward. This is right up there with the Rice Krispies treat story, where we're seeing a lot more mainstream.
It is really cool to see. And you're absolutely right about people in general. Like, if you're in the shower and you've got, you know, you're all lathered up and soaped up and whatever, your eyes are going to be closed. And so even sighted people most likely are sometimes reaching, and they probably open their eyes quickly to validate that that is the right bottle, but they're looking at it and saying, hey, we can actually help our entire community rather than just, you know, a certain population, which is really great. Oh, and I read this article. I thought it was hilarious, though, the way that they distinguished the shampoo versus conditioner. So it looks like they're doing stripes for shampoo, because the word stripe starts with S and S starts with shampoo.
Sure.
And then circles, little dots, for conditioners, and circle starts with C. So that's how they...
So does cookie, but you might already know that from Sesame Street.
Exactly.
In your household. That might, Yeah.
Yeah. So
I would have loved to have been in the marketing meeting for that conversation. That must have been
I would have loved to see the whiteboard, because those are the ones
of all the
that's the one that won out. I want to see the ones that didn't win out.
Exactly.
Speaking of Sesame Street, did you see that Big Bird's retiring today?
Retiring?
Yeah.
Oh, man, after 50 years, about as long as I've been alive, the actor.
The guy is 84, 83, something like that.
It was doing The Grouch, doing Oscar and Big Bird.
Yep.
So
yep.
He outlived Snuffleupagus.
He's a living legend.
Awesome. I'm telling you, I have not watched Sesame Street since it went to HBO. I keep forgetting.
It's because you have a teenager.
That is absolutely true.
Sesame Street is more of a part of my life than I really like to admit.
Right now, it's all web comics and superheroes at the moment. You're absolutely right. I'll have to talk about DC Universe at some point. We were talking about streaming services. That might be a tip I have in an upcoming show, because I'm using DC Universe on iOS and Chromecast to watch the new Titans series, which is not great. But the access to the app is getting better, and there's no audio description. And anyway, I don't want to steal the thunder on a review for a later episode. But, you know, one of the things that I can say we have talked about at convention, and that I've been in a hotel many, many times to talk about, is the HIMSS Polaris Note Taker. And it seems that after long conversations in the past that we've heard at many a convention, the update for the fall has finally dropped for the Polaris. Now, it's really auspicious that I have a guy here who has a background in note takers, and I can bounce off of him and shut up for a little bit and see what Greg has to think about what updates have come to the HIMSS Braille Sense Polaris.
Yeah.
Take it away, Greg.
Thanks, Joe. irony is great. So when I was reading through this, it looks like, and when Dave was there showing these, he was showing the math stuff for a while. It looks like it was in alpha or beta for quite some time, and now it looks like it's official, but there's some really, really cool math stuff on here. It looks like they're integrating a lot of the graphing capability that they had before, or that they were showing before. And I don't know really where that, if it ever was launched officially or now it's launched officially, but it looks like you can now copy equations and actually do full graphing. Looks like you can emboss the graphs as well, which is great. And then you have the ability to, this is kind of unique, is that you can actually label individual points on the graph and then also change different colors of the graph as well to make them more conducive to, I don't know if it's just a matter of making different lines colored differently and things like that. So that's interesting. I'm always, my passion is always education, and I love anything that kind of brings the STEM closer to.
Feels like a lot of Desmos is in there, doesn't it?
You know, I saw Jason at Desmos a couple weeks ago when we were at the APH annual meeting, and just kind of was sitting there chatting with him. And it's just so cool to see a mainstream company whose their focus from the ground up has always been accessibility. And, you know, they're pushing to have their graphing calculator be part of, you know, many standardized testing and all that kind of stuff. But in the process, they realized that every kid has to do standardized testing, right? Not just the sighted kids. And so from the ground up, they wanted to make their stuff, you know, really accessible. And so they're doing that. But in the process, you know, their companies such as Humanware and HIMSS and whoever else wants to can take advantage of their SDK. And then they have, you know, various APIs that you can access. So it's really cool stuff to see. I just love to see this kind of STEM capability, sort of the enhancements come to Black kids, because you know as well as I do, Joe, we didn't have these kind of things back, you know, when we were in school. So
no, and as you were saying, so much of this, as we've talked with Cyber Times and doing Cyber Eyes and other companies this year, the SDK is really abundant and plentiful, and a lot of that knowledge is being shared rather than black boxing, which you and I know from the past, that was the golden goose, and very much the idea that we don't share that stuff that's unique to our platform. But, you know, the web equals all, and all can use the web. So a lot of that technology is just becoming easier and easier to interact with and use, as long as you can have a good internet connection, of course.
But yeah,
Yeah. You know, speaking of that, there's some improvements to the web browser and web views. Email sees some tweaking. There's a long list of fixes in this. This is not a small update. Also, I would advise you to read the update notes very carefully before updating your Braille Sense Polaris, because there is a little bit of a dance to doing that. So the link is in the show notes. If you already have a Polaris, you've probably been contacted by HIMSS and know how you're going to have to go through all of that to get that to happen. Yeah. But if you're considering getting one, go read the release notes so you know what you're in for.
And there's one that I missed, which is that there's a new notepad app, it looks like. It looks like it's handling text, Braille, and other document types, but it's from what I can tell, and there's not a whole lot of detail here in the release notes, but it looks like you can sort of do uncontracted Braille, or sorry, untranslated Braille. So it's basically what you Braille is what you get, but it's very similar to like just typing on a Perkins or something like that, that if you're just looking to take notes and read them and things like that, you know, HumanWare had something like that with, I think it was KeyBRF or whatever they called at that point now. I'm not sure what it's called now, but there's something like that now, it looks like on the Polaris, but they take it a little bit further where you can actually do quick notepad related to text or whatever format else you want to do. It also looks like you can emboss directly from this as well, where you couldn't, I believe, from their word processor. So as Joe said, there's a massive, massive release notes document. I've not seen one of these in a while, to be honest with you. So it's impressive.
It was a lot to throw at you for walking in the door and wanting to do a podcast. Here, Greg, here's a bunch of release notes. Parse this.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get you there. But free update, so that's even better. And we'll have to see if we can get somebody from HIMSS to come on and scrunch that down into a real quick palatable situation and see what we can get in the future. Certainly, as we get closer to ATIA, we'll probably hear a lot more about that. I think we've heard a little bit about Windows 10 and its update cycle, probably more than what Microsoft had intended. So for the strange saga for the uninitiated, Microsoft released the Windows 10 update for October, and then it rolled out, and 4 million Windows insiders missed this one little bit in which it deleted some personal data and knocked off documents and the like. Microsoft immediately stopped the rollout and issued a fix, and the rollout is back on, which is good because the resources haven't stopped coming. Main menu with Jeff Bishop, friend of the show, came out, and it has a bunch of information about the Windows 10 October update, which the link is over in the show notes at blindbargains.com. Also, there are some links from our good friend BGFH, Jesse Anderson, who has one about the low vision things that they've added to Magnifier, and also one about the narrator bits as well. They're available on YouTube. Those links are also there. Did you avoid the update bug, or did you manage to miss any problems
there? No, my main driving computer now is a Mac. We use Macs at Ira now primarily. I do have a VMware version. I have a version of Windows that I run on my Mac, but I hadn't updated it yet. I'd love to stay in my head. I have this is the way the conversation went. All right, so we just released the October update. Hey, you commented out that line of code that erases everybody's data, right? Right? Didn't you?
Uh-oh. Erase that line? sure I did.
All right. Oh, well, man. Let's operation pull it back.
That really takes the wind out of the sails when you've gone through, you know, months and months of development time and you've really locked that thing down. Apple releases like bug fixes for everything in the first 30 days. Nobody blinks. Microsoft releases a big update to Windows. It barfs. And then you got to pull it back. And that's all it was for the day. There was nothing else in the news cycle.
Yep.
Oh, that is crushing. But they bounce back and the update is available. It too is free. It should be quote unquote hassle free. No, so
easy,
for those
Joe.
Of you who want to know more about it, there is some amazing things in Narrator, though.
The
low vision stuff.
You know,
is good too.
I think you guys talked about this last the last show, but just as somebody who I didn't really take to Narrator right away, and I think there's probably a fair number of people who were like me, and it's mainly because of I already learned so many keystrokes for so many different screen readers now. So to add one more, I was like, just really resistant to trying to add in new keystrokes and new commands. And just the work that they've done to kind of make it as similar as possible. You know, NVDA did something very similar to that. And like it or not, JAWS was the first screen reader, and they kind of, you know, made the, they were the, whatever you want to call it, the Kleenex of the,
The down arrow standard is what I've said from time to time. And it was Dolphin that played around with the idea of keyboard emulation, but I don't think many people really used Dolphin, Supernova, or HAL in the day to be able to benefit from that. It was GW that kind of sort of kicked the ball down the street, and everybody started to go, whoa, I can actually use this too.
Yeah.
And even Mac, to some respect, has glommed on to some things that are JAWS-like in order to help those that are switchers.
Yeah, there's definitely some things, if you're in a web browsing situation, you can down arrow a little bit more than you used to. You don't always have to press VO right arrow or things like that. They did kind of open that up a little bit more now to sort of help the switching process go. But what's interesting is that's where the Mac is a little bit different, is that doesn't always apply in every app. So that's where it does get a little confusing. What works in, I would say, Safari may not always work in a word processing document or something like that. So
I think that's good, because a platform should always retain what makes it unique rather than being ubiquitous. I think that's been something I've said on this program about Amazon adopting iOS-like structure or gestures that doesn't fit the platform because it wasn't designed for that platform. Hell, that's voice view is revamped TalkBack in a way. Mm-hmm. And so I always get kind of freaked out when somebody tries to shove a size 12 foot into a size 6 shoe. And as a UI person, as someone who's designed and tested and worked with UX, user experience and user interface, by the way, that just drives me insane. It's not what was designed for the platform. It's not what the original concept was. So when you leave the dock, it just hurts when you see that design dock kind of ripped apart, because users have a very vehement reaction to something that you believe should kind of sort of ease tension, or at least what's worse is that you have another update coming that's going to support the one that you're working on, but users respond so badly to it that you pretty much have to abandon all hope and move on to something else.
And I think we see a little bit of that. As I said, I'm an Apple TV user, and we see that when you download the Amazon Video app.
Oh, or you get their TTS.
And you get their TTS and their gestures and the way that, and it feels very disjointed.
Breaks the experience.
And it's the
so
same with
hard.
YouTube as well. They for some reason they're choosing to run it through their voice view / whatever the YouTube one is, but from what I can tell, and I haven't talked to Peter Korn from Amazon about this, but the way that it appears is that they're basically running the structure that they have from the Fire Stick or the voice view interface, but they're trying to run it through Apple's accessibility framework in some way, shape, or form. But you look at that type of interface, or the interface that's done on YouTube, and you compare it to something that is like Netflix or many of the other apps that you use, and in my view, at least, it's night and day, because you're using something that was designed for that platform and not sort of adapting something to that platform. And so it's just it's a different user experience, a different UX kind of situation.
When you're done with this, I want you to download it for Xbox One, because it's the same thing. It's an override over Narrator.
Now, Joe,
on the Xbox One with Amazon as
here
well.
Here at the Stilson household, we may have a Sony PlayStation, my friend. So
I have both, but you know, but I suggest that you know, to support accessibility, you know,
I need to get an Xbox.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm hearing. Then I have to get a keyboard and a mouse too, right?
Absolutely, because keyboard and mouse support is coming to the Xbox, which is awesome. And then I can challenge you on stuff, because that's my lead platform. I have to play Xbox first. The lead platform for JAWS for years has been Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer is about to see sunset in 2020. So if you rely on that as your primary internet browsing platform, that might not be something you want to do much longer. And you might have also had some problems with Quantum. Maybe you weren't a big fan of what they'd done over there at Firefox land. Well, several people turned over to JAWS and Chrome. Chrome is the new hotness. It took a long time for screen readers to come along and jump into that bailiwick. But now that they're there, Chrome changes. And so there's some changes in Chrome 70 with drop-down boxes. And if you're running into this right now, or you're about to update, either of your JAWS or Chrome and run into 70, you definitely want to click on this support link that I have over here in the show notes, which talks about some of the things with drop-down boxes to make life a little easier for those of you who wish to do that with that software. So when you're in Windows, what is your web browser of choice when you are using the web?
You know, I used to use Firefox, and I think it's the work effect, quite honestly, because we Google everything everywhere pretty much. So it's Chrome and Google Drive and Docs and all that kind of stuff. So I've switched over to Chrome just because in general, all the Google apps tend to work better now in Chrome.
Yeah, and they don't automatically sign you in anymore in Chrome 70, which is kind of a unfortunate thing that has been backed out.
Yeah, exactly. But if you are a JAWS user and you're saying, well, why aren't my drop-down boxes acting like normal? It's not. It's them. And so...
is this support article kind of outlawed?
Yeah, exactly. So don't go pulling your hair out because you're not doing anything wrong. You have to basically alt down arrow to access all of these things. And I guess that's getting changed now in JAWS so that it will work the same way that everybody's used to it working. But you never used to... if you activated the, I think it's forms mode in JAWS, you wouldn't have to do the alt down arrow to open up the drop down box and actually access that content. But in Chrome 70, they're making you do that, which is interesting because on a Mac, you do always have to essentially interact or open that drop down box to get it to change, or at least press the down arrow once to actually activate it. So it's bringing things back, and it looks like they're in JAWS 2019, they're tackling it first and then they're bringing it back. Is that what I'm reading, George? Joe?
Yeah, and that's always towards the end of 2018. We usually see that, and that's, you know, is that a bug or a feature kind of thing? Public beta of JAWS 19 is out now. They've moved into public beta 2 section. So usually if that goes really well, we've seen JAWS 2019 drop like at the end of October as opposed to the old original kind of celebratory milestone, which was early November. When JAWS versions used to drop.
Right.
Or at least back in my day, that's the way we used to do it.
Back in Windows 3.1?
JAWS 3.1. Wait, hold on. Corel support is coming. Corel 8 is coming. Hold on. Just give it a little bit of time. We spoke about the Marrakesh Treaty not too long ago, and we had made some interesting conversations about would it be signed into law or not. Seems like it has, and it's gone steadily through. So all forms of Congress and the president have signed off, and now it is a part of law with the Marrakesh Treaty. That doesn't mean that the pipes are open and books have just started to flow all the way across the continent. Nope. There is a little bit of a thing that you have to do in order to make that kind of ratify and walk all the way through. The Benetech blog has outlined what's next and how these steps go. And also Jim Fruchterman on Twitter was very transparent in talking about what has to happen and where there are things that need to go. But it's just a matter of time now, as opposed to this guy's got to sign off on it or it has to go through this ratifying body. No, it's happening. But it's going to take a little bit of time for all those permutations to work across. So for those of you who are looking for American textbooks to be able to study with and be able to access, or looking for things that have been behind the wall, the giant paywall, if you will, here in the States, it seems like that is going to be something that you'll be able to go through thanks to Benetech and others. So,
and I fantastic. Think from what's really here in the US, we've had the publishers capability to do all of, or to make all these books accessible and make them available to people with print disabilities. That's not obviously the cases we've discussed in the past in other countries. And where this is so awesome is that folks in other countries now are going to be able to access all the books essentially that we can access here. But it goes both ways. Now that the US is also part of this, that means that any books that are, you know, different language books or books that we don't have access to, but other countries do, can send them our way. And folks who are studying language and things like that can actually have access to that here too. So,
Foreign studies, dual citizenship, those who have dual language or tri-language, or, oh man, this is just... those who want to get used to their heritage, maybe their parents came from another country and they now live in the United States. This is going to be amazing for them to be able to reach out and culturally touch some of these things that they may have read but never had access to or had described to them but never really got it in the native tongue So yeah, I'm with you. This is crazy.
And it's interesting when I'm reading this article, you know, I see that Bookshare and Tech are working with other libraries in other countries. And, you know, they really explain like how in some other countries, they're just not accessible media or accessible books out there at all. Like, I think there's a thing where it says in the entire country that they were referencing, there was like 83 accessible books or something like that, that were available.
I read all 83. I'm done.
I'm done. That's it.
My Goodreads list is up. I'm over. That's it. I said I would read 83 books this year. Did it.
Done. But what's interesting is it looks like Bookshare is looking to sort of and move even into other countries and in addition to partnering with libraries, but also actually just become available, at least from the little snippet that I read here, that they're actually looking to expand and try to get the content sort of one interface or one Bookshare service that can go across the borders, which is really, I think, a really great thing, because as long as you're able to provide one interface that looks the same across the board, that would be really fantastic. Especially since you're dealing with all the same content now.
It's weird for me to think that I shared coffee with Jim on the ACB exhibit hall floor in the Houston Adams Mark Hotel when he was at Arkenstone. You know, yeah. It's just like, just what. Now he's like this international fellow, you know, doing all this crazy stuff.
All he's doing is just making all the books available everywhere. That's all he's doing.
Yeah. Well, we did that with Open Book too. I mean, we just didn't really do it in the same way. It was, I used to have a joke that said I've been burned more times than Open Book 5, but that's another thing entirely. But Arkenstone.org. Anyway, one of the things that, that's about as inside baseball as it gets. Okay, so Craig brings it out in me, folks. I'm sorry. The Access World, getting back on track. I broke my own segue.
I think we just ran off the train. The train track. The train's now running through a field.
Yeah, so there is a train, and Joe derailed it. The Access World for October is available, and it has an article in there from Judy Dixon, and also a lot of stuff about employment, because October is Blind Awareness Month, as well as Employment Month for the Blind. And it's neat to see a lot of resources placed in one particular periodical, and definitely head on over to Access World for October and read a lot of that is available. Because, you know, I think, Greg, that this kind of is a great diving board to move into some other news that I might have heard from some company in San Diego about employment. Do you happen to know anything about that?
Are you trying to segue, Joe? Is that what you're doing?
No, I just fell off one. It's no, true. Are you kidding?
Yeah, we are super excited at Aira to announce that our partnership with Intuit QuickBooks is live. And actually, what's really cool is we updated the apps yesterday, and I don't know if it's the first time, but it's the first time, I think, since I've been there that we actually released the Android app first before the iOS app. So
it's for all those Google Pixel 3s.
There you go. We've been working for a long time to help with stabilizing. I mean, quite honestly, we've rewritten essentially the majority of our Android app to make sure that it's much more robust and stable. And more is coming. Yesterday was just really the first release in quite some time that we released the Android app. We had a lot of people asking where the Android was going. Are we abandoning it? We saw people go from 0 to 60, quite honestly, with Android. But, you know, with due course there, they had a reason to be concerned, because we had a lot of work to do on Android. And I'll be the first to tell you. And so we went back to the drawing board and rewrote a lot of the app itself, and we're going to continue to do that. We still are looking to update with the Aira messages. That was a much larger undertaking than originally thought, so that is coming to Android, I promise you. But we were super excited to release our update with the Aira Access offers. And so in the past, you would have had to go to a specific location to get free access to Aira or to even try it out. And now with Aira Access and our partnerships with companies like Intuit QuickBooks and Vispero and things like that, you're able to now access Aira Access offers right from the home screen. So now there's a new button on the home screen that says call with Aira Access offers or call with an offer. And if you're performing a task related to that offer, You can do so with free access to Aira, just signing in as a guest. And it's fantastic because one of these offers is for folks who are self-employed. So that means that if you own your own business, you're a contractor for a company, you can actually sign up in the app. There's a form that you fill out, and you fill out with your company name, your website. If you are a contractor, you'll fill out your name there, and your site that you're or your company that you're contracting for, if you are contracting for one. And at that point, you'll be approved to be able to use the Aira Access offers, the small business offers. And at that point, if you're doing a task that's related to the work that you do with your small business, so it's employment-based, so you are running your small business. And these are things from, the opportunities are, in my mind, they're endless. And this is a huge credit to Intuit QuickBooks for really looking at the employment of those who are blind and visually impaired and saying, hey, how can we help with this? And so that's really what we want to promote here. But it's really anything from snapping photos of your receipt, having an agent work with you to go through your receipts and be able to fill out expense reports and things like that, to anything like, you know, picking out office furniture and or paint for your office or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, the opportunity.
Using TeamViewer to work that way to be able to purchase things in websites that might be a little difficult to navigate.
I tell you, I just talked to an agent today who was saying that there was somebody who used the offer to, they had to fill out an online form, I believe, to register a website. And they were registering their own website, and that form to be able to register it wasn't very accessible. So there's just endless possibilities. If you are signed up as a guest, you can do that now. Just go to the easiest way, quite honestly, is to go to aira.io/app. And regardless of the platform, it'll take you to your respective app store or Play Store and go right to the Aira app, and you can download it from there. Just sign in as a guest. We just need your email address and phone number, and away you go. You'll go through your first call. Before you make a call to work on a task with your business, they'll do a 5 to 10 minute onboarding session just to walk you through the field of view. How much can the phone camera see? How to point your camera correctly? Because believe it or not, that is a challenge that some folks have, is to be able to point the camera correctly at what they're trying to get information about. I think that's a skill that is kind of developed if you do it enough. And so they'll walk you through how to do that. They'll walk you through some of the things with the service, make you, you'll sign, obviously, when you download the app, our terms of service, make sure you read those. And away you go. And it's really exciting. We also have the Aira product offering, which is, if you are using QuickBooks, you are able to essentially, if you're just doing any task with QuickBooks, this has nothing to do with whether you're a business owner or not. But if you are using QuickBooks and need some extra visual assistance, maybe something isn't that accessible or something like that, you can contact an agent and have them work with you as well. So
huge for if you have a lot of infographics, somebody goes a little nuts with how they're importing data from spreadsheets and make some crazy pie graph or chart that's all shaded. Mm-hmm. Especially as a low vision user, if somebody decided 50 colors of gorgeous green, you know, they chose a neutral color that they thought would work great, but not good for people who have color blindness, you know, that's huge, you know, because there's amazing. A lot of that within QuickBooks.
You know, you got to, I can't give enough credit to QuickBooks and Intuit and our other partners for helping to make this a possibility, because quite honestly, beforehand, the only way that we could have made things free access was within that geofence to ensure that people were there. But with this possibility of, you know, we always have the human agents that are on that can validate. So if you are calling, saying that you're calling for a business thing and you're making dinner, they're gonna call you out on it and say, hey, you're gonna have to call back when you
no, really, I'm having someone over. It's a business dinner. It's totally happening.
Exactly. Yeah.
No?
So they're trained to watch for things like that. But in general, we want to make the service as available as possible, and it's really exciting because not only is it doing, you know, it's giving people a free chance to try Aira, but it's also a way for us and for Intuit QuickBooks and our other partner to really help people moving forward on the employment train and, you know, helping them do the best their job that they possibly do. So it's really
exciting. You mentioned geofencing a second ago. I I ran into this. We were in the Apple store, which is technically an AT&T store. And up came, you know, the ability that, hey, you're in a very favorable place for IRA. And that kind of was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm in the mall. I hadn't even thought about that, but I'm in the Apple store. And that showed up.
Yep. No, it's really cool. I think there's over 5,000 locations of AT&T stores around the country right now that are all IRA access. So if you're going to get that new iPhone or Google Pixel or whatever you're going to buy, you can definitely walk into an AT&T store and get an agent online to help describe stuff to you if you're looking for it.
Especially if you're trying to match your cases or
I was just going to say that, you know, I have an Apple Watch Series 3 and I am so fashionably disabled. It has nothing to do with my vision. It's just the fact that I don't care that much.
And feel free to use my line. I'm not just visually impaired. I'm style impaired.
It's a true statement, man. So I've actually started looking at different watch bands because I'm still rocking the black sport band I got with my watch.
Oh, and remind me after this. I'll send you the link for Ricky and I. We have metal ones that we absolutely adore. And they
awesome.
Kind of work in their magnetic clasps. And they're under $20 at Amazon. I'll tell you.
They're not the $100 Milanese loops that you get from Apple?
So yeah, these were under $20 and they look just doggone fine. And already paying off my Series 4. I don't need to add any more to that. And those Nike Sport loops, not as reflective as they say.
So I've used I've used agents to describe cases for me. And one thing that I actually really find it valuable for, and this is something that may pertain to a business task, is if you're shopping for business furniture, or some people shop for business attire, things like that online. My wife does this a lot and has agents actually describe the photos of online clothing that are not very descriptive online and things like that. So another really cool way of doing it.
Oh, we used it the other day to find a certain section in Nordstrom. It's to have some of that. And the agent recognized that there was a floor map as we were walking. And so scanned over that way, stopped, took a picture.
That's fantastic. Like,
yeah, it made her life a lot easier. She can figure out where we were from there. And this is a silly question. And I thought I should ask it because I don't know why I've never asked it before. So let me do the preface into it. One of the things that was in the release notes for the iOS version that just updated was that the navigation is a little different and better now for those that are not using glasses. And I thought that was interesting. But what led me into this conversation that I've had with Ricky, is that locked? Can you turn the phone into landscape? Does that help? You know, when people are trying to help you over the phone, can IRA work in landscape mode?
It's a great question, Joe. Quite honestly, I don't even know the answer to it. I think it does, but okay. I'm not 100%. But I can tell you a really easy way to find that out is if you turn it on its side and then the agent's like, everybody sideways, the answer is no.
That's an immediate, yeah. Well, and also you need to make sure your phone doesn't have locked rotation. That would, you know, make a big deal.
I don't honestly know, though. And I know that people are, there's so many of our explorers. And just to close the loop on the Intuit and the access offers. So if you are a current explorer and you're using you're using these different offers, that just those minutes just won't get deducted from your monthly allotment of minutes that you have. So it works very similar to if you were using it, say, one of the 25, 30 plus airports that we have, or any of the IRA access locations.
Or the AT&T stores.
Or the AT&T, or exactly. Places. Yep, exactly. Right. But no, there's a lot of explorers out there who have these, who don't use the glasses. They only use the phone, and they've got some really cool accessories that they use, from, you know, lanyards that go around their neck to actual like harnesses that they kind of strap over their upper body, and the phone kind of sits in the middle. So there's a lot of options for hands-free things. I still prefer the glasses just because they are on something that is very mobile, which is your face.
Nothing
and
will
your head.
Ever be as awkward as the ID Mate head strap. which you remember, I think that was Omni or right before, it was pre Galaxy, but you strapped it to your head and then you could scan barcodes like a miner's helmet. So that's still one of my all time favorite accessories.
At least you were doing it primarily in your own kitchen, most likely.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, unless your job involved inventory and then you're blinding everybody like yourself. So, you know, there's there is that.
And then the other thing that we did is, in I think in the latest update, we had somebody mention to us that if you weren't using glasses, I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, that you would always get the, and you turned your Bluetooth off, you would always get a Bluetooth error saying you need to have your Bluetooth on. And so we modified that so that you don't, because that was actually an old Google Glass thing that was required, but it's not as relevant now today. So you won't get those error messages any longer as well. And more to come. We're still going crazy.
You're not used to this format. See, when it's not an ad, Greg can stay on target. When it's an ad, I'm all like, you know, professional and stuff. Now that it's just, you know, Greg's here as a co-host.
it's definitely a we can get so off topic, Joe. I mean,
no, us.
Hey,
we only talked about video games
for like 3 minutes today. So that's
only, no, we got sports in, so we're halfway there. So more to come, and nothing that I can dangle you by your toes to drop out today, I assume. But no, you know, but what you're giving us is a lot.
I will say though that the Horizon updates, we've I think released three of them, something like that. We're at version 1.2.8, and I have to say that the feedback has been really good. We fixed a lot of sort of issues that were causing droppage of calls or, you know, random GPS location errors and things like that. So there's a lot of things that were fixed. We also make it so that you don't have to hold the call button every time you want to have a conversation now with Chloe, so she always knows when she should be expecting a response from you. So you don't always have to hold it to respond to a question that she asks. So that all came out, I think, about a month ago. And we're continuing to work on that. So you will eventually be able, hopefully in the next coming weeks, to be able to actually make access calls without your smartphone. So if you are using Horizon as a standalone device, you'll be able to actually make some of these access offer calls for your small business and things like that. And even sign up using your business name and things like that. So that form will actually be converted into a voice UI or voice interaction that you'll have with Chloe to fill out that form just by question and answer, very similar to the way you do things with Alexa or Google Home today. So more to come, but definitely really, really good stuff related to
supply and demand. I mean, are we getting closer?
Exactly. We are just about completely caught up with all the pre-orders and things like that prior to the summer shows, and about to get another shipment, I believe, here coming in the next month or so that will make inventory much, much easier to manage now.
Awesome. All right. That will make someone I live with very happy. So there are all sorts of things going on over there. Any other things we need to touch on before I move on to tip?
No, I think that's there's always a lot of stuff happening with Aira. And what's funny about this company is it's a startup, and we move really, really fast, sometimes to our own detriment. But we are one of the things that I always want to mention, and I know that it's a small company thing, but we have made significant strides and efforts in customer care. We heard you all loud and clear, those of you who are explorers, that it sometimes has been a challenge to get a hold of us, get responses. I can tell you that internally, that has been priority number one from Suman all the way down the chain. We've revamped our entire customer care organization, all of those things. We have a new operator system in place now so that you are ensuring that you get a human on the phone. So more to come on that, but customer care is a massive priority for Aira. So we appreciate all the feedback and definitely appreciate your patience as we work through some of the startup customer care issues that we've had. But it is a work that is in progress. And I think probably for every company, it's a work that's always in progress. But we've made it priority number one.
Three years, it takes, you know, we take for granted some of the, you know, conveniences we've had with companies that have had 15, 20 years to build up these infrastructures over time. And, you know, now you guys are global, literally.
Yep. 24/7,
there's,
man.
That's a lot that comes with that. And, you know, you can find out a lot more by heading on over to aira.io. Speaking of .io, I move into our tip from Rebecca Skipper, longtime fan of the show. She suggests Hunter.io, Hunter.io. She recommends this because have you ever wanted to find executives at a particular company in order to send them emails or provide information or feedback or even inquire about certain things? It's pretty hard to do unless you have a professional package. Yeah, I know. I remember when I had Hoover's. Oh, man, the stuff that's in that is freaky scary. Hey, Michael Dell fell off his bike. Really? Oh, dude, that's crazy. You know, it's crazy. You know, some of those executive packages are just nuts. But you can find out a lot about how I'm being to reach people that you would like to at some of these larger companies. She talks a little bit about how she's done it, and it's there in the show notes under the tip section for episode 161. Thank you, Rebecca, for sending that in. This is the point where I make Greg's email public. Wait a minute. Which one should I give? I don't know. Pause. That was really good.
Everybody knows. Here's the best part about a startup is the email addresses are really easy. You can reach me easily at greg@ira.io. So it doesn't get much easier than that until a second Greg comes and works for us. But I'm going to keep the easy email.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us @blindbargains.
Ron Colazar, who's written in a bunch about a great many subjects, wrote me about being a happy Spectrum customer. We were talking just a little bit ago about the Fire Stick and some of the other things that are now available. I really appreciative that he wrote in to talk about the accessibility project that's been going on over at Charter/Time Warner/ whatever you want to call it this week. Spectrum Services. I know our friend Q and others have been working on that for quite some time, and you may have even run into Charter Spectrum at convention because they've been talking a lot about this. They put a lot into their apps as well. In fact, even on the Xbox, you can use some of it, but a female voiced Charter Spectrum box, and he says it's kind of blind friendly. He goes into some kind of detail about how it works. This sounds a lot like the Xfinity one. Did you have a chance to peruse this email?
I mean, when I looked at it, it looks very similar to the Xfinity one or whatever is that what it was called? Xfinity X1 or Xfinity one?
Xfinity One platform. The downside about that, of course, is that it's web-based, and so it's kind of going back and forth.
Right. Now, this looks like...
As Liam told us years ago.
Yeah, this looks like Time Charter Warner's approach at that, whatever they're called now. Regardless of who is first or who's catching up or whatever it is, the fact that this is a conversation that we're having today is phenomenal. I mean, that's regardless of what you're doing. And look, from what I can tell, you know, this is one option, but I'm seeing a lot of the, I'm a Charter customer here in Wisconsin, and I just got an email that there's these things that are like Charter, I'm trying to think of what it's called. It's like the Charter Web TV package or something like that. You know, they're recognizing that they're losing customers to, you know, streaming services and things like that. So they actually have a Charter app that you can download onto the Apple TV and sign up for a much cheaper price. I think it's like, I want to say it was $29.99 or something like that. And you can pick and choose the channels that you want. And from what I've heard, I didn't download the app, but from what I've heard, that app is relatively accessible. So you can use your streaming boxes to still use the channels that are provided by your cable provider, and a little bit more selectively now. So you have really some awesome choices that you can make, whether you want to go with the traditional cable box that is, you know, much more accessible now than it ever has been, and get the 400,000 channels that you can possibly want. Or now they have much smaller packages that maybe for the folks who originally went to the whole cutting of the cable and stuff like that.
So with Greg here, and we just got finished talking about Spectrum, I thought it'd be neat for the last word to bring up Vulture's top 40 soundtracks of all time. And now by soundtracks, this is not the score of the film. So it's not like, you know, Thomas Newton Howard or Danny Elfman or Jerry Goldsmith. No, we're talking to like Saturday Night Fever, you know, where it's a bunch of licensed songs and they're actual soundtracks and sold that way. So hits based on the film that may have actually played during the credits, but you got out of the film, so you don't really know that they're on the soundtrack till you bought it. And with that said, there are some gems in this list. I own several of these, ironically, or in the case of Boogie Nights, I actually own a lot of the songs that are in the Boogie Nights soundtrack. Sure. I don't actually own the Boogie Nights soundtrack. Greg, I don't know if you've perused this list rather quickly, but I don't think you have Judgment Night. I do.
I do not. I have not watched that movie, actually.
I have it because Faith No More, when I was in radio, Faith No More were good friends of mine, and they're on a track on with Booyah Tribe on that particular
name drop
record. So. Yeah. sorry, Mike Patton was cool.
They were friends of mine. Backstage passes.
Let me put it this way. They didn't have to look me up. They just left, you know, Joe Steinkamp plus one in Houston for many a year. So the thing, you know, I was in radio. I had a lot of rock and roll people that I met. It was some good, some bad. many times.
That's awesome.
Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack. That one's a good one. Romeo and Juliet. Oh, that's got Garbage number one crush. Shutter Island, number 24. I'm just kind of scrolling here and just grabbing Midnight Cowboy. That's kind of a classic. The Magical Mystery Tour, the Beatles, of course, you know. The Graduate, 1967.
Oh, wow.
That is way influential. That, in fact, I just saw Paul Simon on Saturday Night Live recently. So, yeah, this is a great list. Even if you're not into some of these soundtracks, you might get some great party songs out of this that might work out if you're going for some of these older ones. They have the year that it was released right next to the number. So 1969 for Easy Rider, which is number 19. So if you're looking for something that kind of fits, you know, that time, I'm not sure that I agree with The Bodyguard. But then again, I was selling Laserdisc at the time that was released. And I
heard Laserdisc
a lot. Same with Trainspotting 1996.
The only Laserdisc, Joe, that I think I've ever watched, no joke, is something from a science class that I was in. Like, I remember that they always, this was back when, like, Laserdiscs were becoming a thing. And my school decided that all the movies that they were going to play in science class, they were going to do it off of Laserdisc. I have no idea why, but that's where I remember my teacher was, like, this big techie nerd guy. And he's like, we're going to watch a laser disc. And I was like, oh, is that like a VHS tape or what is
it? No. It's like a big 12-inch record with video on it. And guess what? If we're really lucky, it plays an hour. If we're not, it only plays 30 minutes a side.
Get to flip it over.
Well, yes. And that is if you weren't swanky and had one of them that automatically done flipped them over where the camera went up the other side. So. I've told this story to Patrick a couple of times, my cousins. So if we talk about the first video picture disc-y type things, my cousins had Disco Vision. They had the RCA picture disc and they had Star Wars. Star Wars was released on the picture disc as well as Time Bandits. And it, just to give you guys an idea, it was like a gigantic plastic cartridge, like a Nintendo cartridge with a video disc inside. And you picked it up and you shoved it in a slot and it dislodged the disc from the cartridge and you removed the it, right? And so the disc sat in there and spun until you were done. And then you would pick it up and pull it back, but it was analog. So it could skip. Right. You could literally make it skip.
That's funny.
Had to be careful when inserting the disc and placing it in the cartridge. It was just nuts. and then Disco Vision came out and then later standardized with Philips and Pioneer and everybody and became Laserdisc. And I used to sell Laserdisc. When I got out of the profitable world of commercial radio, I jumped into home theater sales because that sounds way more stable. And I was actually selling Laserdisc at the time before I went to Incredible Universe. And so I was brought in because of my Laserdisc, my vast
Laserdisc. You know what we need? You know what we need? We need a Laserdisc expert. Enter Joe Steinkamp.
They did. In 2005, they needed someone to run that portion of music and movies. And so I had some legacy. I had friends who'd worked at Radio Shack that vouched for me, and I got through the process. So Laserdiscs were great because, you know, as a low vision person, it was huge. It was like, yeah. you know, like albums, yep. like old vinyl records.
I was going to say, so it was a vinyl record that played video. That's
exactly. So I could see them and I could memorize them, and it made my low vision heart all the better. Then DVDs came out and killed all of it. That just ruined everything.
And now you just talk to your television and say,
yes,
play this.
And the flickering box brings up images. You're right. You're absolutely right. I sit on my fat butt like the couch potato that I am. Tell my Google to give me the entertainment that I desire.
And it doesn't most of the time.
Feel very much like I'm in the floaty chair on WALL-E. Yeah, you're pretty much right.
And the magic, really good the magic movies travel through the air to your internet box and start uh-huh. playing.
The only thing that makes that better is that I'm getting my movement and my stand ring by dangling my left arm on the side of my chair to trick my Apple Watch into thinking that I'm standing. That's the best part of all of that. That's how you close your rings, everybody. You know, we had talked a little bit ago about Winamp, and close out the show here with the one from Ars Technica. It seems like Winamp 6 is coming back to whip some more llama. And that's pretty cool. We were just talking about this. It turned into an actual show title from a couple of weeks ago. And I thought it was really funny that Ars Technica had an article about 2019 getting streaming support and podcast support in the next version of Winamp.
So when's the next Windows Media Player coming out?
No. After they add keyboard commands to Groove Music. There you go. That's It's totally how that's going to happen.
Oh, man. I'm just waiting. No. We see Winamp 6, and then you see Windows Media Player. I don't even know what number they're on. 16 sure. or something.
Real Media still exists. Real Media right. Player Real still player. Exists. Man, oh, see, man. Kids, back in our day, we had to actually go and buy the Real Media Player from a store. It came in a book. It came preloaded with channels in the channel bar. And G2, man, G2 was the snuff. That was wow. You had to have that. That was.
I remember
you could watch video on the web.
And you would get a movie or a video, and for some reason it was in the real format, and you couldn't play with anything else, or you
real.
And so you're like, what? What can I play? I spent all this time getting this movie, and now I can't play it. And now you had to go on and figure out exactly whether it was Winamp or Windows Media Player or whatever. Times were tough back then, Joe. Times were tough.
Oh, dude. File association. You would load that thing, and it would take over all your media, and you had to go back in with your screen reader, if you were lucky, and it would read, to undo all those attributes that it would grab.
Yep.
Like MIDI and MOV and just you name it. It would take over. It's great.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Joe and I are just going to synchronize and at the same time say, get off my lawn.
Oh my, Greg, thanks for coming on and filling in a pitch. We really, really do appreciate it. Where people can find you on the interwebs.
So you can find me at greg@ira.io. You can also find me at G Stilson on Twitter. And it was so much fun, Joe. This is fantastic. I'm just, I come on for a short / long snippet, but I'd love talking.
They start off short, then they end up being long. And then,
right, yeah, exactly. And then yeah, Patrick gets really
angry.
That
was the intent.
That's not always great.
That's true.
Yeah. But no, it's I love talking tech in general. And so this is so much fun. And I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks.
No problem. It may come about again. You never know. It's anything's possible, but thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Thanks to Patrick Perdue for making us sound much better than we actually are, especially on this podcast. So that happens from time to time because Greg and I have a tendency to, well, you heard about the train. So that happens. You can find me and stories that show up on this particular program sometimes before they actually show up on this particular program by going over to Twitter, which is twitter.com/RangerStation, all one word. That's RangerStation, all one word. And it seems like there's another Apple event on October 30th, Greg. And so my live tweeting is not done yet. So the snark will be in full effect on October 30th as I live tweet the looks like iPad event that will thrill JJ to no end, let me tell you.
It's going to be the AirPower event, Joe. the air power.
I hope so. I truly do. Because I wish in the winter months to warm my hands by the heat that's going to come off the air power. Because, man, wireless charging, that stuff gets kind of warm. Just saying.
It does.
Also, you can go over to atguys.com to find out much about some of the accessories that you could match with your iPhone or some of your Braille display products. You want to head on over there to atguys.com, who are, of course, general sponsors of this particular program, and to find out way more about what we do and all sorts of crazy bargains and to see what people are putting up. Because as we get closer to Christmas, people start to want to have some easy money. They start to put stuff up in the classifieds, blindbargains.com, or follow us at blindbargains on Twitter. That's going to do it for episode 161. And next week, 162, Apple again. So all of you who said nice things about us on Twitter and social media about we did an Apple show and that was really great. And then we did the Google show. So that's even better. Be prepared. There's going to be another Apple show. Sorry. Blame Cupertino.
It's not our fault. We just report the news.
That's correct. Send it to timcook@apple.com. That's where that goes. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2018.
Sorry.
Sorry. No worries. You okay?
Definitely took a drink of water and
caught you at the wrong place. Yep. Done it.
Sorry, mark that down. Sorry, Patrick.